Okay. Next Sunday, going to be preaching a series of meetings at Southern Heights Baptist Church in Berryville, and you'll need to be here next Sunday morning. But next Sunday evening, we've decided as a church to meet there. So I want to urge you to be a part of that. The bus is going to be going along with some vans, and so if you'd like to go, we furnish you just meet here at the church, and we'd have a ride for you. And you come and be a part of that if you can. If you can't, I hope that you'll be praying for us. Pray for me. Those services start at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and probably you could leave here at about the time we get out here. We start at 10, so we're out. Depends on how long Nathan preaches next Sunday, but you might be able to make it to Berryville for go to two services next Sunday. They start at 11 on Sunday morning. I'd like for you to pray for me while I'm in that those services. They start at 6 on Sunday night. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they'll start at 7 o'clock. And that's at Southern Heights Baptist Church. And I hope you'll be praying for me. Some of you have said that you would. I hope others of you will be. I know that's where it's at. That's where it is at, is in the prayer. We've got some folks from Oklahoma with us today, and I'm so grateful that they have come to support Travis in this, some of his kin folks, and we're glad they're here, and we're excited about what God's doing in these lives, and what he's doing in your life. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Now, when we get to the book of Acts and we get to this 16th chapter, we've come a good ways from the cross, haven't we? Jesus has died on the cross. His disciples scattered and hid. Then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He showed himself to a number of people, 500 at one time. But the disciples came, John and Peter came and saw the empty tomb. Thomas was not there, and he said, "I won't believe unless I put my hands in the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side." And Jesus appeared, and then Thomas was in the midst of them, and he said, "Thomas, come here and put your hands in the prints of the nails and thrust your hands into my side and be not doubting but believing." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then he meets the disciples on that fateful morning there at the sea, and he has breakfast prepared for them, and Peter experiences forgiveness, real forgiveness in his life for his doubt and for his betrayal, his denial of even knowing the Lord. But you see, when people really experience the cross and they really experience the resurrected Lord, their life is forever changed. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a, help me church, a new creature. Some translate it a new creation. Created over again. He gets a new heart. She gets a new heart. The life is forever changed. Old things, the Bible says, are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so here we come along to a character whose life has been completely transformed. He was one, at one time he was the enemy of the cross. We talked about that last Sunday morning. He was the enemy of the cross, and on his way to Damascus, he becomes a friend to the cross. He has gloriously and magnificently saved. His life is forever changed. And instead of being an enemy of the cross, he begins to proclamate the cross to all of his kinsmen and all of people everywhere, and to the Jews, and he is a lawyer of the Word of God, and so he knows how he can be the Messiah. Even through the prophecies of the Old Testament, and he begins to preach Jesus and him crucified. So we've come a good ways from the cross, and now we've come down to a place. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that they came to a place along the shore called Philippi. And they begin to proclamate the message of the living Lord, and they is a group of people meeting down at the river. They're having corporate prayer. They've met for prayer. And so Paul and Silas meet with them. And Lydia, a rich merchant of Philippi, hears the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me today. This is how it happens. She hears the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come and died on the cross and is risen from the dead. And the Bible says that she believes what Paul and Silas is preaching. Her life is transformed. But not only hers. Read the scripture. All of her household. And they're all baptized. Well, I believe that praying was a big part of what was going on in every believer's life. Should be a big part of what's going on in our life. I don't know how in the world the church has got away from praying. How did we get away from corporate prayer? How did we get away from meeting in our homes and having seasonal prayer together and praying that people's lives would be changed and the Holy Spirit of God would be set free in individuals' lives? What's happened to us? So they meet again. But there's someone else in the group. Someone who was not a believer, but was in worse shape than Lydia was. She was a demon-possessed girl who was, they thought, telling folks their future. And so some men in the town had made a business of it. And they were charging folks to come and talk to her. But she just happened along this prayer meeting. And the demon that was inside of her began to, I believe, now you have to see what's taking place here. But the demon inside her began to speak to Paul and Silas and to the group that was around them about what was going on. And she said, these men are telling us the story of the living God. And the demons can't proclamate the message. And they've never done anything good. It's always evil. When I pastored at Pocahontas and I worked at the college at Walnut Ridge, I believe there was a demon-possessed boy in the college, in a Christian college, taking classes. And one of my stops was to go by the post office that was inside the administration building and pick up the mail. And on a number of occasions, I encountered this young man in the hallway of the administration building, and he would say, "Hello, Pastor." And chills had run down my backbone almost every time he would say that. Then I found out later. Anyway, I won't go through all the story, but I believe he was demon-possessed, and that proved out to be true later on. So this young lady was demon-possessed. Divination. Claiming to foretell the future events and discover hidden knowledge. Palm readers, card readers, they call themselves fortune readers. Crystal ball gazers, spiritualists, some even claim to get their power from God. Horoscope readers, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't fool with it. Don't look at it. Don't have anything to do with it. It's demonic. Stay away from it. So Paul got all that he wanted, and he cast the demon out. And it wrecked these men's financial gain. Now, you know, there's a lot of people out there that hate Christians, and there's a lot of Christian persecution that is going on, and it's going on in the United States and a lot of different areas, and you and I are going to see more and more and more of this as it closer to the time of the Lord's return. There's going to be more persecution of the church. And some of that, a great deal of that, is going to come because of financial gain, because we are standing against the financial gain of some people who are Christian haters. You see the deal, the reason that doctors are killing babies in the womb, it's not because they believe in the woman's right to be able to decide what she does with her own body, even if it's murder. But the reason that abortion is an issue in America today is because of financial gain. And there'll be more and more persecution of the Christians as time goes on. Okay, let's take our Bibles now. You got the introduction, and turn to Acts, the 16th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 23. Stand with me, would you? Now you got the story, you got the background. They gave Paul and Silas a whipping of their life, stripped their clothes off of them. And this is where it starts. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, don't miss any part of this. Don't miss what is going on here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and had a pity party. Oh, man, they treated us so bad. Is that what happened? Some of you. Is that what happened? No. That's not what happened. They sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now listen up. And the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners heard them. You see, you're around a lot of folks that are in prison that may be out running loose. But in their life, they are in prison. They're bound by things in their life. There are circumstances that are going on in their lives that you and I don't know anything about, but they're in prison in their own life. And when Paul and Silas sang praises, the prisoners heard them. Now I lost my place. Verse what? 26. There you go. You're paying attention. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. Now look. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, that is, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household." And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You may be seated. Now let's look at the condition of the two witnesses, Paul and Silas. The physical condition of them. In verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible says that they tore off their clothes and they whipped them with many stripes. In verse 24, the Bible says they threw them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. How's your day going? I mean, really, when you and I go to work, what are we experiencing as far as persecution in the name of the Lord? How is our life going? You see, the Bible teaches us that there is some fellowship in suffering, that unless we come to that place, we may never experience it. But the Bible says that anyone, who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It may be because we're not suffering, it's because we're not living godly lives before the Lord. That the world cannot tell the difference between us and the world. That we've got in this gray area some way. That there's no difference in the way we dress. There's no difference in the way we talk. There's no difference in what we watch. There's no difference in what we read. There's no difference in our life that the world can tell a difference in, and so we're not persecuted. But whenever we begin to take a stand against godly gain, against ungodly gain, then we may face some persecution. Now let's look at the spiritual condition of these men. Have you got a picture in your mind now of what kind of shape they were in? They beat them with many stripes. They tore their clothes off of them. And they cuffed their feet in the stocks. You get that picture? Old Cole, back as far back in the jail as they could put them. Put their feet in the stocks. You got that picture? And at midnight, help me run with this, would you? At midnight, Paul said, "Hey, Silas, you awake?" "Yeah." "What are you thinking about?" "I'm thinking about Lydia getting saved. I'm thinking about that slave girl who got the demon cast out of her and she received freedom that she had never had. Her life would never be the same."
Amen.
Paul said, "Hey, what was that song? What was that song they were singing on the riverside?" "They didn't know about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And they begin to pray. You know, I don't believe that Paul and Silas was praying for themselves. "Lord, we're so pitiful. My back is beat. This cell is cold." I believe that they were praying for those folks that they'd met on the river. I think that they were praying for that slave girl. I think that they might have been praying for the jailer and for the other men in jail. But they were not focused on their own situation. You can tell by the reading that they were not focused on their own situation. What about, "I'm ready"? Are you? "I'm ready for us to pray and to sing praises until the foundations of the prison shake so hard that people are loosed from their bands, from that binds them, from those things that bind ourselves." And that's what they did. Everybody's bands fell off. Wasn't just Paul and Silas's. Read it. Everybody's bands fell off that was in prison. Everybody was set free. You imagine a service like that inside a jailhouse? And the Philippian jailer said, "This job's over. I'm going to kill myself." Said, "No, wait. We're all here. Don't do it. We're all here." Now, let's look at the condition of the jailer. Here is a man so afraid of his job that he's willing to kill himself rather than face the consequences of allowing the escape of those that's been left in his charge. The jailer asked the right question in verse 30. "What must I do to be saved?" Now, if you do a little word study on that word "saved," what does it mean? A lot of folks can't understand that. And we use Christian language like that. We'd tell folks, well, have you been saved? Well, most folks, unless they grew up in church, they don't know what that word means, been saved. What can I do? And I think that here's the translation. What can I do to be safe? To be secure. What can I do to be saved? Now here's a guy that is expecting to die because he's not done a good job of keeping the prisoners. So what can I do? You know, I'm not sure that he, you and I have been raised, we've had a lot of church experience here, and we know about the Lord dying on the cross, and I don't know how much preaching and Paul and Silas was doing there at midnight and what the jailer had heard, but he says, what can I do to be saved? Or what can I do to be safe from what's getting ready to happen to me? Well, I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what the future holds for you. The most important thing is that you know Christ as your personal Savior. And you're safe. And you're saved whenever you know Christ in the free pardon of sin. So the future, his job, if he knew Christ, and Paul and Silas knew this, that his job didn't mean anything. He needed a relationship with God. And so, they preached to him Jesus. We find that later. When we read a little farther in that chapter, they preached Jesus to him. He'd already asked the right question. What can I do? And so he got in the right spot. He got his focus in the right direction, and he's asked the right question. What about for me? Now let me ask you today, what about for you? What about for you? What do you need to do to be right with God? What would you need to do in order for revival to come to your life and to your family? What would you need to do in order for the foundations of the prison to be shaken and for your own bands to be loosed? What would it take in your life? What kind of change would it take in your life? Well, I want to tell you today, if you do not know Christ in the free pardon of sin, your first step is to be saved, is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this is what Paul told him. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to believe? The Amplified Bible puts it this way. And they answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to Him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into His keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. And they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and bathed their wounds, and he was baptized immediately, and all the members of his household. Then he took them up into his house and set food before them, and he leaped much for joy and exalted with all his family that he believed in God, accepting joyously, welcoming what he had made known through Christ, what he was made known through Christ. What do you believe about Jesus? A good man? A good teacher, a prophet? Do you believe he's the only way to heaven? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sin and that on the third day he rose from the dead and now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you? Do you believe that? I was talking to a man in jail one day and he told me that he wanted to be saved. And I said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead? He said, I believe that he died on the cross, but I can't accept that he rose from the dead. I said, well, then you can't be saved. Until you believe that. When Jesus asked Peter, who does the world say that I am? Oh, some say you're one of the prophets. Elijah's come back. Some say you're John the Baptist rose from the dead. Peter, here's a question. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. Is that not right? Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. The Spirit of God has given that to you. Now I want to tell you something, dear friend. It'd be impossible for us to believe with all that Jesus went through and he rose from the dead without the power of the Spirit of God. You and I couldn't believe it either. But there is the Spirit of God that lives within us that empowers our belief to believe that he rose again. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Are you hearing me? I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Listen to me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's. Yeah. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. You hearing me, church? He lives within my heart. What about you? Brother Matt, will you come? I'm going to dismiss our candidate for baptism right now to get ready. And Shane, you're going to help us with that. Brother Nathan, you come and stand here with me. Your mama can't be saved for you, and your daddy can't be saved for you. If your relatives gave $10 million to support the local church, it wouldn't do you one ounce of good in any way, nor them. And gaining heaven for you. You must put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Trust him as your Savior. And if you've not done that today, I want to invite you to make that decision for Christ today. If you're here today and you've not followed him in believer's baptism, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. We won't baptize you today. But we'll make arrangements for you to be. If God's dealt with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, we'll give you that opportunity today to join the church. So Nathan's up here to help. You can come to him. You can come to me. Let's stand together. And as we sing, would you surrender to the Lord Jesus today. That he's been dealing with your heart to do. Would you do it today, right now, in this service? As we're saying, you come.